Ebenezer family and friends. I'm just so blessed to be connected with you again. I just want to share with you, if you look at my background, something wonderful happened at the church the other day. I was in a meeting with some of the leaders, and after we finished the meeting, I came out. Actually, someone called me out. One of the deacons called me out and said, "Pastor, look." And what you see, I got several pictures of it. It was a rainbow that went right over our church, right over our church. And I was like, I took it as a sign. I was like, "God, thank you. Thank you for your mercies that you're covering." But it was just so beautiful and so bright. And within like 5 minutes, the rainbow was gone. But we were able to go out and capture that in photos. And I just wanted to share with you to let you know that God is up to something. He is doing some wonderful things in Ebenezer. And I just want to thank you for your many, many, many prayers. If you're visiting with us the first time, I want to let you know you're in the right place, that there is a word from the Lord. Today, as we get into the message, we're really going to be dealing with salvation. We're already always dealing with salvation in a sense. But I'm telling you, I just want to give you an opportunity even now. And if you've been asking yourself, should you accept Jesus? Go ahead and ask him into your heart. Man, your life will be changed. We've got some places on our website where you can go and you can put your name down and somebody can get in touch with you and we can just walk you through. But you don't have to wait for that. Just call on the name of the Lord. Any amens in the chat, just say amen. You call on him, he will show up in a mighty way. But we want to get you connected to a local fellowship. It is important wherever you are. I know that this is airing and in various places that are maybe not are close to Ebenezer, but we want you to get into our church home where you can receive the word of God. As always, I just want to thank you from our leaders for your giving. God loves a cheerful giver, for giving from the heart. It's amazing when we're able to purpose in our heart and we can give not grudgingly, but nor of necessity, but we can give cheerfully. Any hallelujahs out there? And that's what we taught throughout these years. And the Lord is doing so many wonderful things. Remember our rainbow over the church. God has just been so, so gracious. But remember, giving is in different ways. We're able to, on third Sundays, to go to Central Park, some of the leaders, and to give out food and clothing and other items. We're able to send out funds overseas to encourage some other ministries and evangelists. We're able to help out those. So many have gone through. We've had people in the hospital, and we're able to assist them and encourage them as they are going through their trials and tribulation. And guess what? That's all about us, the body of Christ. So I want to thank you for helping us and assisting us to do that. Well, I'm thinking about the Word of God, and I'm just ready. We've been talking about renew our mind, how we learn. And today, boy, we're gonna get in the Word of God, and it's going to speak to all of us. But let us prepare ourselves to receive that Word. You be blessed. We'll see you soon.
Today I'm going to be reading from 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm going to start with verse 1 and read through verse 10, and I'll be reading the Revised Standard Version. So put away all malice and all guile and insecurity and envy and all slander. Like newborn babes, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up to salvation. For you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. Come to him, to that living stone, rejected by men, but in God's sight, chosen and precious. And like living stones, be yourselves built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and he who believes in him will not be put to shame. To you, therefore, who believe, he is precious. For those who do not believe, the very stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the corner, and a stone that will make men stumble, a rock that will make them fall. For they stumble because they disobeyed the word, as they were destined to. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, that you may declare the wonderful deeds of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were no people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy.
Amen. As soon as I stop worrying, worrying how the story ends, and I let go and I let God, I let God have his way, that's when things start happening. When I stop looking at back then, and I let go and I let God, I let God have his way. I couldn't seem to fall asleep. There was so much on my mind. I was searching for that peace, but the peace I could not find. So then I knelt down to pray. I was praying, help me please. Then he said, you don't have to cry, 'cause I'll supply all your needs. As soon as I stop worrying, worrying how the story ends, and I let go and I let God, I let God have his way, that's when things start happening. When I stop looking at back then, and I let go and I let God, I let God have his way. So just let go and let God. Oh, let go and let God. You gotta let go and let God. Oh, let go and let God. Oh, let go and let God. You gotta let go and you gotta let God. You gotta let go and let God. Oh, let go and let God. Oh, let go and let God. You gotta let go and you gotta let God. You gotta let go and you gotta let God. Oh, let go and let God. Oh, let go and let God. You gotta let go and you gotta let God. You gotta let go and let God. Oh, let go and let God. Oh, let go and let God. You gotta let go and you gotta let God. You gotta let go and let God. Oh, let go and let God. As soon as I stop worrying, worrying how the story ends, and I let go and I let God, I let God have his way, that's when things start happening. When I stop looking at back then, and I let go and I let God, I let God have his way.
Okay. pray that you have been renewing your mind as you've gone through these last days, just thinking about how the Lord teaches us. What is the learning process or the teaching process that God is bringing to the table in your life, in my life? God really wants us to grow to become more like Him, and that's why we have to renew our mind. I remember on last time, we've been going over this memory scripture and the time before, and I think a lot of you should be getting in into your spirit, because we've been reading it into our minds, and then we're going to read it into our spirits. So let's go to Romans 12:2. Romans 12:2. And I want you to read with me. Don't forget. All right. Romans 12:2. Let's read together. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Y'all are doing great. Just put amen in the chat. Hallelujah. Wherever you're sitting at, maybe you're standing, just thank the Lord for that process that He's doing within our hearts. I just want to take time right now to ask you to pray with me. So much is going on in our world, and we need a word from the Lord. We need to hear from God. I know your time is precious. My time is precious. We need the Holy Spirit to speak. So would you pray with me? Father, I just thank you for this day that you've made. And thank you for this opportunity. The old saints used to say that this golden opportunity to be connected on this virtual platform. Lord, we need you. Maybe there's someone, Father, that's looking in, listening in right now, that doesn't know you. I pray that today be their day, that they will confess with their mouth, Lord Jesus, and believe in their heart that, Father, you have raised them from the dead, and you said they would be saved. Lord, thank you for your grace and mercy. Now, Lord, I ask you to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. And Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Would you teach us and guide us and lead us into all truth? Would you make this word so plain, so easy to be understood, that even a small child can be transformed to be like you? Thank you, Father, for all that you're doing. Please give us a word from you. In Jesus' name, amen. It's amen. On last time, we were actually in Daniel chapter 4 and that 32nd verse. And this is going to be a transition, because you'll see where we're going to today. That 32nd verse read, and they shall drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. They shall make you eat grass like oxen, and 7 times shall pass over you until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever He chooses. And that title from last Sunday was Learning Through Correction. Learning Through Correction. Remember, we dealt with King Nebuchadnezzar, and he just would not listen to the Lord. So judgment came, and he found himself a beast. He lost his mind. He was literally outside in the grass, in the wilderness, and he lived like a beast for a lengthy period of time. Some points that we brought out of that lesson was, choose the easy way or get the hard way. Amen. Ouch. I did it my way, reaping what you sow, graduation day, and God wants to bless you. Transitioning from that Daniel chapter 4, we're going to go into the 5th chapter today, because we're going to pick up Nebuchadnezzar's lineage. And I want you to focus in with me on Daniel chapter 5 and the 5th verse. Daniel 5:5, it reads, in the same hour, the fingers of a man's hand appeared and wrote opposite the lampstand on the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Listen to this again. In the same hour, the fingers of a man's hand appeared and wrote opposite the lampstand on the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Here's our title today. Really want you to focus in with me. Can you read what's on the wall? Can you read what's on the wall? We pick back up. Time frame this time is around 580 BC. We're picking up, the scripture is going to say the son of Nebuchadnezzar. But I really want you to think more on the genealogical line. Some theologians argue that this is not the direct son, but more of a grandson. But as we go through, you're going to hear son, son, son. His name is Belshazzar. Belshazzar. He has come along the ranks, and now he is king. We're not sure what has happened to Nebuchadnezzar. Maybe he has passed away. We know King Nebuchadnezzar, when he was restored to his kingdom from living like a beast, he praised the true God, gave praise to Jehovah, and told everybody else to praise him. But it's amazing how a few years can change things, how quickly the word that we get from God can become so disseminated that now our children and others that are following along don't even remember what's happened, or at least don't feel like it's really focused on them and how they're living. As we pick up today's lesson, I really want us to think about the renewing of our mind. And that when we renew our mind, how it can impact those that are around us, that God allows us to speak into their lives. But all of us have to take an account for hearing the voice of the Lord. Let's jump into this Daniel 5:1. Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast for 1,000 of his lords and drank wine in the presence of the 1,000. Daniel 5:2. While he tasted the wine, Belshazzar gave the command to bring the gold and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the temple which had been in Jerusalem, that the king and his lords, his wives, and his concubines might drink from them. Then they brought the gold vessels that they had taken from the temple of the house of God, which had been in Jerusalem, and the king and his lords, his wives, and his concubines drank from them. Can you put in the chat, drank from them? Yes, wherever you're sitting at, I want you to say that, drank from them. Daniel 5:4, they drank wine and praised the gods of gold and silver, bronze and iron, wood and stone. Here's a big point. Don't take God for granted. Yes, don't take God for granted. As this transitional period, Belshazzar, he is king now. The kingdom is grown. Notice within the scripture, thousands upon thousands. He has this big party, and he's focused on himself. Now remember again, his father, King Nebuchadnezzar, had been taught to renew his mind, in a sense, through judgment, through correction, and he had proclaimed that Jehovah to everybody. But just through time, a generation or so, notice Belshazzar, he's doing it his own way. Look at here, and Kroll writes of this scene. Belshazzar committed several sins during his last night on earth, giving you a little premonition there. Drunkenness, sacrilege in the use of the sacred vessels taken from Solomon's temple, and idolatry in the worship of the gods of gold. Yes, at this point, and I wanted us to focus on that, he actually is using the articles, the cups that has come from God's temple. Yes, if we remember in history, remember, you didn't do that. These were consecrated items. These were items that the Lord told them how to create, and they were supposed to be used in the worship of the one true God, Jehovah. God spoke strongly against using these articles in an improper way. Exodus 34:14. For you shall worship no other God, for the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God. I want to read that again. Exodus 34:14. For you shall worship no other God, for the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God. Notice here, Belshazzar and all of his guests, they are definitely worshiping other gods. They're doing it their own way. And what adds to the insult, they're taking the consecrated items and they're using them in their party. We're even reminded to Israel in the Ten Commandments in Exodus 23, you shall have no other gods before me. God does not take lightly when man and our feeble selves lift up something else and call it a god. Lord put this question on my heart, and I want to give it to you. What are we doing in our lives to make God jealous? Oh, wow. What are we doing in our lives to make God jealous? What little gods have we built up in our lives? What things are we worshiping that are putting Jehovah Jireh, our provider, on the background? What things are we finding ourselves going to instead of the Lord? I'm telling you, we're in the season that God is speaking strongly to my heart, and I pray to yours also to renew our minds, to learn of Him. But there's so many other enticing things that the enemy is putting out there that he wants to teach us things that are contrary to God's will. Can you read what's on the wall? Jesus speaks in Matthew 7:6, do not give what is holy to the dogs. They are actually taking holy items here and they're desecrating them. Nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you into pieces. Here we see a picture of what the enemy wants to do to the sacredness of God. Can I say that again? We see a picture of what the enemy wants to do to the sacredness of God. Do you see this entering into our society, even into the household of faith, that which was supposed to be lifted up, that which was supposed to be consecrated, has become to a state of being desecrated, and that we're finding people who would honor God and lift up God and be aware of His presence just doing whatever they want to do. Look at this next scripture. Can you read what's on the wall? Daniel 5:5. In the same hour, somebody say same hour. Can you put that same hour? Fingers of a man's hand appeared and wrote opposite the lampstand on the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. 5:6, then the king's countenance changed and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his hips were loosened and his knees knocked against each other. Here's the point. God knows how to get your attention. Any amens out there? God knows how to get your attention. I'm telling you, I'm speaking to somebody right now. What is God allowing to happen in your life right now to get your attention? Will you ignore it, or you will go, will you go, you know what? I see the handwriting on the wall, and Lord, help me to read what's written on the wall. Notice closely as we look at certain parts of this fifth chapter in that sixth verse, the king's countenance was changed. When he saw that hand just appear out of nothing and begin to write on the wall, all of a sudden that party spirit changed. He was in heaven, so to speak, with his own gods of alcohol and all of those things that he was dealing with. But when he saw that hand write, all of a sudden his facial appearance changed. Notice, and his thoughts troubled him. A weight came over him so much. I love this part, that the joints of his hips were loosened. He began to get weak, and this is huge right here. And his knees knocked. I'm telling you, God gets his attention so much that he becomes afraid. A change comes over him so much he is trembling at this point. When the presence of God shows up, I'm telling you, we got to acknowledge him. Yes, when God's presence shows up, I'm telling you, I want his presence to show up so we can praise him and magnify. But I'm telling you, some people are in a situation right now where God's presence is going to show up and it's going to trouble them because they know it's a spirit of judgment. God made an appearance to the children of Israel in Exodus 20:18. Listen to this. Now all the people witnessed the thunderings, the lightnings, flashes, the sound of the trumpet,
and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar off. So that smoking mountain, God shows up. And when the people saw the presence of God, they began to shake just like Belshazzar. Exodus 20:19. Then they said to Moses, "You speak with us and we will hear, but let not God speak with us lest we die." What will God have to do to get your attention? Yes, what will he have to shake to get your attention? What walls is he already writing on to get your attention? What does he have to do to get the world's attention, to get the United States of America attention, to get the present day church's attention? Can you read what's on the wall? Daniel 5:7. The king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. The king spoke, saying to the wise men of Babylon, "Whoever reads this writing and tells me its interpretation shall be clothed with purple and have a chain of gold around his neck, and he shall be the third ruler in the kingdom." Daniel 5:8. Now all the king's wise men came, but they could not read the writing or make known to the king its interpretation. Here's the point. Looking for answers in all the wrong places. Yes, looking for answers in all the wrong places. Some of you remember that title, that song, looking for love in all the wrong places. Here, Belshazzar, he is looking for answers in all the wrong places. Let me show you as we look closely at this 7th verse again. The king spoke, saying to the wise men of Babylon, "Whoever reads this writing," he wants to know. All he's seen is that hand and the writings on the wall, but he can't read it. He doesn't understand what's happening. He knows that this is bigger than him, and tells me, he says, its interpretation shall be clothed with purple and have a chain of gold around his neck, and he shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. He raises the stakes. The king raises the stakes. He said, just get me somebody that can tell me what this writing is on the wall. I present to you again that there's writing on all of our walls, and if we go to the real true God, he will show us, and we can make a change by renewing our mind and getting closer to him instead of receiving judgment. Look at Daniel 5:8. Now all the king's wise men came, but they could not read the writing. They could not read the writing. I can see them in the room and everybody gathering around. The stakes are high. They're thinking about the gold chain. They're thinking about, you know what, I can elevate my status. I can be third in the kingdom. They're doing all that they could do, but they could not read it or make known to the king the interpretation. The interesting thing about this, nobody attempted to lie about it. Yes, you would think that somebody would just kind of make up something, but they understood this was the hand of God. This was something that was bigger than them. They did not want to touch it. And I'm telling you, when God is moving, when God is putting something on the wall, you need to leave it alone. You need to let God be God. And so many people are trying to manipulate what God has already written. There ought to be some shouts of praise, some hallelujah. Can I say that again? So many people are trying to manipulate what God is already written, but God's word is true, and let every man be a lie when they try to change that which is the word of God. How many times have we looked for answers in all the wrong places? Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, and we Googled it, and we asked girlfriends and boyfriends, we went to other people, but I'm telling you, the word of God is the truth. The word of God gives us answers for every situation. God said in his word in Matthew 7:7, "Ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you, for everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened." God wants us to renew our mind in him. He wants us to learn of him. We need to spend more time with him. We need to seek his face so that we could understand what he's speaking to us. How much time are you dedicating to renewing your mind? Yes, on a daily basis. Notice Belshazzar, he had gotten caught up. He had lost the teaching, the thought pattern of Nebuchadnezzar the way he had learned. And now judgment is coming quickly to Belshazzar. How much time are we spending to avert judgment in our lives and say, God, I want to walk in your wisdom. I want to walk in your understanding. And I want to be able to give that wisdom to another generation. I want to be able to speak into other folks' life what you're teaching me, so that they can learn of you. Can you read what's on the wall? Look at Daniel 5:9. Then King Belshazzar was greatly troubled. His countenance was changed, and his lords were astonished. The queen, because of the words of the king and his lords, came to the banquet hall. The queen spoke, saying, O king, live forever. Do not let your thoughts trouble you, nor let your countenance change. Daniel 5:11. There is a man. Can you put it in the chat or wherever you're sitting and say, there is a man. There is a man in your kingdom in whom is the Spirit of the Holy God. Can you just type Spirit? Make sure it's capitalized. Spirit of the Holy God. And in the days of your father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, were found in him. And King Nebuchadnezzar, your father of the king, made him chief of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. Daniel 5:12. Inasmuch as an excellent spirit, knowledge, understanding, interpreting dreams, solving riddles, and explaining enigmas were found in this Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will give the interpretation. Here's the point. The Spirit of the Holy God. Yes, the Spirit of the Holy God. I want to just kind of walk through this scene because they're so astonished because they could not read the writing on the wall. They're so astonished, and the king is troubled even greatly that he begins to change again. I believe that the blood began to flow out of his flesh at this point. He's at the verge of falling out because he realized this is a word from the Lord, but all of his astrologers and all of his magicians and all of his wise men and all the Chaldeans, they cannot interpret this. But the queen walks in. She hears the rumble that's going on. She hears the trouble that's going on, and she makes her way. She says, "Oh, king, this is important," because she had to enter in the proper way. Most of the time, the people would have to be invited in. If they weren't invited in, they could be killed. So she says, "Oh, king, live forever." She does the proper things, and she says, "There is a man." Notice Daniel 5:11. There is a man in your kingdom whom is the Spirit of the Holy God. What she was saying is, I've heard about him, and I know about him. I've been around long enough that God, the true God, has moved in, and he's proven himself through Daniel. And in the days of your father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, were found in him. King Nebuchadnezzar, your father the king, made him chief of the magician. She goes back. She says, this Daniel, you may have forgotten about him. You may not remember him, but I remember him. And I want you to know God was using him. Nebuchadnezzar, your father found out that God was using him. But notice here, Jesus taught about the Spirit's role. That's a capitalized there of John 16:13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Can you read what's on the wall? But notice here of Daniel, because he had been renewing his mind and being in the presence of the Lord, there's some traits, there's some fruits that we will find within our lives as we learn of God and we realize how he's teaching us. Notice Daniel 5:12, inasmuch as an excellent spirit. Yes, because Daniel had been walking with the Lord. We taught on that last Sunday, and he was able to interpret dreams. He had an excellent spirit. He had knowledge and understanding. He was able to interpret these dreams, solving riddles and explaining enigmas. I'm telling you, in this season and time, when we learn of God, renew our mind, God wants us to give us wisdom like this. I'm telling you, some of you are struggling with some situations, and all you got to do is get into the Word and call on the name of the Lord. Lord, and he will give you wisdom and understanding. James says, if anyone lacks wisdom, ask, and God will give it liberally to him. I'm telling you, we need wisdom in this season of all these things that are going on, the attacks of the enemy. We need to hear a word from the Lord. Are there any amens in the house? We need more saints that have renewed their minds and are walking in this level of authority with God, that they can hear the voice of God and walk in it. Where are the virtuous women, the virtuous wives? Let me tell you, Proverbs 31:30, that are walking in this type of wisdom. Can you read the writing that's on the wall? Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. Where are the fathers and the young men and the women and children who know the Lord and are renewing their mind and growing in God's word? 1 John 2:13 says, I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who was from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. 1 John 2:14, I've written to you, fathers, because you have known him who was from the beginning. I've written to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Can you read what's on the wall? Saints, we are in a season and time. We need people to step up and fulfill that which God has put in his word, fulfill that which he is teaching us, be guided by the Spirit of God and not be afraid of the enemy. We've got to know that God has put authority on the inside of us by his grace and his mercy. In spite of our issues, in spite of our struggles, he wants us to tell the world that Jesus is Lord. Daniel is brought in and introduced to Belshazzar. Yes, he tells him about his father Nebuchadnezzar. He tells him about the judgment. He tells him how Nebuchadnezzar's pride had lifted up and he found himself as a beast in the wilderness. He tells him about all of that. But notice something happens in Daniel 5:22. I love it when we renew our mind, because we can hear the voice of the Lord. We can tell the good, but we can also bring forth the bad. We can stand on God's word. Look at Daniel 5:22, but you, his son Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart, although you knew all this. This is heavy. Can you read what's on the wall? Daniel brings out, he said, you may have forgotten it. You may not remember it very well, but when you think back, this was taught to you. This was passed down to you. This wasn't done in a secret part of the kingdom. The king was out there for 7 years. He was a beast. He was a no man. He didn't even know who he was, but God came in and restored him. You know all about this, but you haven't humbled yourself. Notice in Daniel 5:23, and you have lifted yourself up against the Lord of heaven. You knew that God was powerful. You knew that God can raise up kings and bring them down, but yet you fought in spite of. There ought to be some people out there saying, Lord, please forgive me. How many times have we known, but yet we refused to hear the voice of the Lord and we did it our own way? How many times have we refused to renew our mind and we find ourselves in the same situation? When God shows up, now it's a point of judgment within our lives. Notice, they have brought the vessels of his house before you. You and your lords, your wives, and your concubines have drunk wine from them. And you've praised the gods of silver and gold, bronze and iron, wood and stone, which do not see or hear or know. And the God, listen to this, who holds your breath in his hands and owns all of your ways, you have not glorified. There ought to be some people out there to say, ouch, Lord, forgive me. Simply, please understand, God holds our breath. If it wasn't for the Lord and his grace and mercy, we would start breathing right now. But I'm so glad for his grace. Can you put grace in the chat? Somebody shout out grace. I'm glad for his unmerited favor. And Daniel said, and the God who holds your breath in his hand and owns all your ways, you have not glorified. I dare you right now to just give God some praise and say, Lord, I thank you. And then somebody need to say, Lord, forgive me, because God has been so good to us, and so many times we have been so bad. Look at Daniel 5:24. Then the fingers of the hand, Daniel Bible says we're sent from Him. That's capitalized. We're sent from Jehovah God, the same God that judged your daddy. He sent the hand and the handwriting on the wall, and this writing was written in the 25th verse, and this is the inscription that was written, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Parsin. When we don't put God first, hear me, judgment will come. Yes, yes. Can you read what's on the wall? Can I say that again? When we don't put God first, judgment will come. When we don't renew our mind in Him, we are going to fail. We're going to find ourselves in similar situations that we are taking those things that are consecrated and we're going to desecrate them. We're going to take them to the enemy's camp instead of giving praise to God. Daniel gives the interpretation. Are you with me? Daniel 5:26. This is the interpretation of each word. God will tell you what's on the wall, but my concern is we can learn in His book, we can learn in the Word, and we can change our ways. But I'm telling you, when God shows up in judgment, there is no hope in a sense. Look at this. He says, interpretation of each word, Mene, God has numbered your kingdom and finished it. Wow, what a word. Can you read what's on the wall? Daniel 5:27. Tekel, you have been weighed in the balances and found wanting. Can you read what's on the wall? Daniel 5:28. Perez, your kingdom has been divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. I want to give you this question. What does the writing on your wall say? Yes, yes. I believe that there's some walls out there, and we've got them in our houses, and maybe they're on our job. Maybe you got a wall that's in your car. I don't know where your wall is, but there's been some writing on there, and you just couldn't read it, and you've been ignoring it, and you realize God wrote that on the wall. I'm telling you, can you read the writing on the wall? What is the wall saying? I'm telling you today to change your ways and go after God. If you don't know Him right now, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart, because I'm telling you, it is getting late, and that means that God is soon to return. As we see the signs of the time, as we see wildfires in one area and we see floods in another area, we see droughts in another area, we see murders in another area, we see all of these things culminating, I'm telling you, it's time to say, what is on the wall, God? Look at Daniel 5:29. Then Belshazzar gave the command, and they clothed Daniel with purple and put a chain of gold around his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. But look at this, Daniel 5:30. That very night, can you put in the chat wherever you're sitting, standing, can you say that very night? Please, please, please hear me. There is a point that the grace, unmerited favor, extends into judgment. Yes, the grace, unmerited favor, and mercy of God extends into judgment. You read Revelations. We don't like to talk about it. I love the God of grace and mercy. You love Him? Just put grace and mercy. I love that God of grace and mercy. But if I got a quick typos out there, can you just type judgment? The God of judgment is still the God of judgment. The God of the Old Testament is still the God of the New Testament. He's just allowed His Son, Jesus Christ, to show us an abundance of grace and mercy. But I'm telling you, when He comes back, the scripture says He's coming back as the judge. Look at Daniel 5:30 again. That very night, Belshazzar, king of the Chaldeans, was slain. And Darius the Mede received the kingdom, being about 62 years old. Can you read what's on the wall? Judgment comes in quickly to Belshazzar. He dies that very night. It wasn't because God didn't give him a chance. God gave him a chance over and over again. But I'm telling you, you can go away and finally keep pushing away from God. Keep not wanting to read what's on the wall, and judgment will come upon you quickly. Please, can you read what's on the wall? But I want to leave you with hope today. And if you're listening to me today, no matter where you find yourself, I don't care if you got writing all over your wall, I want to give you hope, because we're still in a time of grace and mercy. We got to seek the Lord with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. I encourage you to call on the Lord and say, God, forgive me. I am a sinner. You need to get to know the man from Galilee, the one that came from heaven to earth to walk among men, heal the sick, and raise them. You need to get to know this gentle Savior that John the Apostle leaned upon, and God showed him his love. You need to get to know this man from Galilee that walked on water and fed 5,000 and 4,000, but yet went to the Garden of Gethsemane and prayed 3 times and came to the conclusion, not my will, but let thy will. You need to get to know the one that in essence took our place on the cross of Calvary, nails in his hands, nails in his feet, and he died for us. He was put in a cold grave, but you know what? He got up on the third day with all power and all glory. Can you read what's on the wall? We have a way out through Jesus. He's told us, now that I have risen, if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. This is not something that we just repeat over and over. This is the reality. Because all of us have judgment written on the wall. But the only way that judgment can be averted, hear me, is through accepting Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. That writing on the wall can be a writing that says, you know what? I'm in the book now. My name is written. Revelation talks about that book. That if your name was not found in it, then damnation and judgment would be for you for an eternity. But I'm so glad for those that have called on the name of the Lord, that have read that writing on the wall and realized, God, I need you. Let's not choose the way of King Belshazzar. Death was his end. But while God is giving you breath, giving you life, remember, he holds your breath, giving you one more chance. Would you call on him? Don't put it off to tomorrow. What you can do right now, call on him wherever you are. If you're not sure, I gave an invitation on last Sunday in our in-person service, and I took the time, just slowed down. I said, if you would pass away within the next 5 minutes, could you know, would you know where your home would be? And I spoke to the congregation. I said, if you are like a maybe, I'll be with the Lord, or I'm not sure, that's not good enough, because the Lord says those who are his have been saved and given the gift of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is our guarantee. Here, the Holy Spirit is on the inside, and he lets us know that we're children of the Most High God. That doesn't mean that we don't mess up, we don't make mistakes. It's just that we have God's voice, his Spirit on the inside of us that says, I'm your father, I'm your daddy. And yes, there's correction that comes, and we renew our mind and we become more like him. It says we don't know what we shall be, but when we see him, we shall be like him. That whole process is taking place. First John talks about it over and over again, that we become like him as we get in his word, as we pray, as we renew our mind, as we learn of him. I pray that you'll accept them truly today. Confess your sins before him. And I'm telling you, he will renew you. For those who know that they're saved. Pastor, yes, if I pass away within the next 5 minutes, I know where my home is going to be. I ask you, what things, that question we started off with, what things are you doing in your life right now to make God jealous? Yes, you know him. He loves you. He saved you. We plead the blood of Jesus upon our lives, but God has expectations from us. He wants us to lift up those consecrated things to him. He does not want us to desecrate his holiness. He wants us to recognize that he is Jehovah, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Some of us need to spend more time with him. More time in prayer, more time reading his word, more time focused on the Lord, so that we can make sure that our priorities are right again, that our minds are being renewed in these days and times where the enemy, you see him, he's stepping up his attack. But aren't you glad for a gracious and loving God? Can you read what's on your wall? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this word today. Lord, help us. Lord, I thank you that you're saving souls right now, adding to your kingdom. I thank you, God, for you affirming those who know you and love you, and you're challenging our hearts. Lord, I thank you, God, that you're taking us to another level of renewal in you, that we're praying more, that we're reading more, we're meditating on. We want to be used of you, Lord, in this season and time. Help us to speak your truth, God. Lord, we thank you for grace and mercy. We recognize you as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We recognize you as the God of the universe. Lord, thank you for your Son, Jesus the Christ, the Anointed One, who you raised from the dead, but he's coming back again. Oh Lord, help us all to be ready. We give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Have you got all in your vessel? Your lamp trimmed and burning. Are we ready when the bridegroom comes? Have you got all in your vessel? Your lamp trimmed and burning.
So glad that you can be with us for this time of communion. This is a special time. The scriptures lay aside. This is a time that we can come close to the Lord, that we can remember all the wonderful things that the Lord has done for us and is doing for us. So before we get into the scriptures that really put an examining light on our lives, I just want to say a prayer. I'm going to go ahead and pray over the bread and the juice. And if you don't have your articles, you can find them. If you have communion cups, that's great. But if you just have some bread or some juice, my family has used all types of things, especially during the thick of COVID when we were at home. And we knew God was the one who consecrated it. God was the one who really was all about that holiness. He brought the holiness to the table. And as we have gone through the message today, I'm telling you, we want to make sure that we're lifting this up to God, because this is a consecrated thing that we're doing. So let's pray. Father, I thank you for this time. Lord, I pray over all that is with us now, that are with us, and they are preparing their hearts. If there is anything that is there that's preventing us from taking this, some alt or some hatred or some stuff that we can go and we can call our neighbor, our family member, and ask for forgiveness, Lord, touch our hearts and help us just to push pause and help us to go do that. Lord, I just thank you. Thank you for this time of being able to take communion. And we just give you praise, Lord, for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. If you looked at the first part of the service today, I talked about the amazing thing that happened at Ebenezer the other day. I came out from a meeting and a deacon called me, and there was a rainbow over the church. And I was like, you know what? I want to take communion under that rainbow too. It was just God's handwriting in the air. As we get into these scriptures today, I want you to really listen to them. We quote them and read them so often, but that 1 Corinthians 11:23. And if you have your Bible, you can walk along with us. We'll be reading it and just taking our time through it. It says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." This is amazing to think about, that Paul the Apostle gets a revelation of what happened in the room. I remember in Hamilton said, "I just want to be at in the room where it happened at." He gets a revelation of this whole process.
"And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup."
This is critical on this examination. We don't want to take it in an unworthy manner. Remember Belshazzar? He took those holy items of the temple and he took them into a party. And really, he desecrated that. And so we want to make sure that there's no ought in our heart. So we want to examine ourselves. So as we take this communion, we can take it in the right state of mind. Notice these remaining parts.
For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world."
Amen. And so as we take this communion today, I want you to grab those articles. I want you to get that bread. And we want to go to that room today, and we want to think about Christ and the disciples as they were at that final Passover before the crucifixion. And Jesus, he grabs the bread and he breaks it and gets the attention of the disciples and says, "This bread represents my body that's going to be broken for you. As often as you eat it, let's do it in remembrance of him. Lord, bless this bread and this juice Let us eat together. He picks up that goblet, and I'm just always enamored when I think about how God from the foundation of the earth said, you know what, I got to make sure that those grapes, some grapes are red, that they bleed red, because my son is going to pick up that goblet and say, this represents my blood that'll be shed for you. What can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Father, bless this juice in Jesus' name. Let us drink together. Aren't you glad for being saved? That we have Christ in us via the gift of the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, we talked about that handwriting on the wall. Let us just resign ourselves to grow more in the Lord, to renew our mind, and to say, Lord, you are our everything. As you go through this week, I want you to be blessed and know Christ is doing something beautiful in your life. You be blessed.